the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Are you in a relationship with someone who has an addiction? If you are, then this is the episode you need to listen to. Deanna Marie is going to walk you through our process of how you can build strong boundaries so that you can live the life that you want, a life filled with joy. Join me for this amazing podcast. See you soon. How does a person who's in a relationship with someone who's got particular challenges, whether it's alcohol or another addiction, because they're all just addictions, look, it could be even porn as the addiction, they're all still addictions. How do you create these guidelines? To walk me through the process.
Well, really, I mean, it's about, again, with the boundaries process, it's just like expressing to your partner is like what you will or will not accept. Staying in an addictive relationship, I'm not going to lie, for someone who is in it, it's very difficult to do. I mean, it's constant mindset work. If you truly want to be successful, not just white knuckle it and hope, you know, and just, I'm going to just stay in this life because I need the financial, you know, relief of my partner, or I don't want to move out of this house. You have to totally change your mindset about the situation. You have to release control over that person and realize that they're going to do what they're going to do.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast. I'm Charlene Lynch, and together we're shining a light on hope, resilience, and transformation in the journey to end domestic violence. Each week, we bring you inspiring interviews with change makers, survivors, advocates, and experts who are making a difference in the lives of those affected by domestic and family violence. Whether you're here on your own healing journey or supporting someone who is, this is the space for powerful stories, practical tools, and heartfelt inspiration. Let's heal through love together. Today, we've got an amazing guest. Deanna Marie understands the challenges of living with an alcoholic, living with alcohol, I should say, having endured such a relationship for nearly two decades. Yet with the depth of despair, she clung to the belief that a better life awaited her. She ended up leaving the relationship, eventually met a man who would then become her next husband. But the road wasn't easy for her. She had to not just learn how to accept unconditionally this love, but also how to accept herself unconditionally. I'm excited today to dive into the conversation in and around alcohol, alcoholics, and how to set boundaries. Deanna, talk to me about this. What was it like? Two decades.
Wow. I can't believe it's been two decades. It's actually been like 25 years now. But, you know, in some instances, it feels like a lifetime ago. And in other instances, it just seems when I talk to my clients, it just brings me right back to that moment. And it's a really frustrating place to be because you truly see the good in this person. You know, you're not in these relationships with them because, you know, they're a bad person. They're kind. My ex-husband was kind and funny and all those things, but they have this addiction, right? They just drink alcohol to kind of numb whatever is bothering them, their past traumas or whatever. And, you know, it's very frustrating to see this beautiful person hurting themselves and then also ended up hurting the family and not recognizing, you know, the damage that they're causing to everyone.
Deanna, this is a painful subject for me to dive into. As much of our audience knows, I was an alcoholic for three decades, and that culminated in the suicide of my beautiful baby boy. And now, nearly 10 years sober this August, like it's for me, this is a challenging conversation to have a look at it from perspective of someone on the outside looking in. And so I've got my box of tissues just right here, just in case. I hear what you're saying, that you're in this relationship with people that have got these particular challenges, and they're numbing their own pain and their own trauma. How do you know how much to help and how not to help, and how do you know how to not step over the line? Like how could have the people around me while I was going through my challenge supported me differently so I could transition?
Yeah, there's definitely a big difference between helping and enabling. You know, helping is really just saying, I heard you're going to that meeting, or are you going to that meeting? But enabling is really just are you going? It's 10 of 7. The meeting's at 7. Are you going to go? I thought you were supposed to be there. I thought you were supposed to leave. I mean, it's just obsessing over their recovery. It's like you can offer to, like they say, lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So it's like you can gently guide, but when you start like putting all your energy into them getting the help that they receive, then that's just enabling. And people are only going to change if they want to change. And so you need to take care of yourself and take a step back and reserve that so you can take care of you and give them the space to take care of themselves.
I hear what you're saying. When I look back with clear eyes at how I behaved for those 3 decades, one of the things that really stood out is manipulation. So, as an alcoholic, I noticed how I manipulated situations so I could get the alcohol that I thought I needed. And also things like manipulating the situation so I didn't have to be the person that drove so that I could go to places and still drink more than my fill. And so the manipulation, I'm going to go and I'm not pointing my finger at everyone else in the world, but myself, hand on heart, was one of my biggest challenges. And even my closest friends never really said that to me, that I was manipulating the situation. And I'm guessing it's because I obviously did it really well, or they saw it and they didn't care. So how, from the other side, people who are in a relationship with somebody who is an alcoholic, how can they deal with this level of manipulation if that's the challenge that they're having? And do they need to deal with it? Do they need to say something? Or like, I don't know, what does it look like?
Well, really, I mean, it goes back to boundaries too, manipulation. It's like really just expressing what you want from this relationship. And it's always like about what you want. Like I want you to if I feel uncomfortable when you drink and drive. If I see that, I will take your keys away. So really, you need to set up boundaries so that everybody knows what the playing field is. Your partner knows what you're going to do if they misbehave, and then everyone just knows, the reactions that are going to happen after that. So I lost my train of thought there, but that's when you have boundaries, it's really you're able to not be manipulated. Because you've already expressed what you will or will not accept in the relationship. And if you follow through on your boundaries, which is consequences, then you can't be manipulated because your partner already knows. I said it much better that way.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And, the sober me can hear all of this and get it. But, the one that drank for 3 decades, if I heard this, I would have responded differently. I would have, because I was cunning. Because I was a drug and it was an addiction and I needed it. And just like all addicts, we manipulate the situation and we're cunning about it. So even if someone has said something, and done their boundaries, the more inebriated I would get, the less I'd even remember what it is that they'd say. And even if I did remember what they said, I would find a way to turn it around. So now I'm not saying I was gaslighting, but I would definitely like the not sober me and the sober me were two different people almost.
Yeah, well, that's a part of it too. It's like, yeah, of course, you're going to try to get your drug, and at that point in time, it was the alcohol. So you're going to do whatever, and you can, you've said a couple of times, well, I'm kind of cunning about it. They didn't really notice or they didn't really care. And the truth is, they absolutely saw it. They just didn't really want to deal with it. Because like if they know how you're going to react, if they say, oh, Charlene, let's get going, you don't need that last drink or whatever, they know. So they're just letting you go because they don't want to get into it. And that's the same way when you're married to someone. It's like you get to decide. It's like, what is it that you is enough for you? Like, what line is in the sand when you're like, I'm finally going to say something, as opposed to watching them in their behavior and not saying anything. So as much as they think they're getting away with it, I would say often than not, they're not getting away with it. It's just that people aren't addressing it because they either just don't want to get involved, they don't want to get into a fight, or they just don't want to, ruin the relationship.
Yeah. So this is a huge eye opener, and I should have had this conversation with you a decade ago. Okay. So from what I hear you're saying, it is possible to stay in a relationship with someone who is an alcoholic, but you need to have stronger boundaries. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what, how does a person who's in a relationship with someone who's got particular challenges, whether it's alcohol or another addiction, because they're all just addictions, look, it could be even porn is the addiction, they're all still addictions. How do you create these guidelines? Walk me through the process.
Well, really, I mean, it's about, again, with the boundaries process, it's just like expressing to your partner, it's like what you will or will not accept. Staying in an addictive relationship, I'm not going to lie, for someone who is in it, it's very difficult to do. I mean, it's constant mindset work. If you truly want to be successful, successful, not just white knuckle it and hope, and just, I'm going to just stay in this life because I need the financial, relief of my partner, or I don't want to move out of this house. You have to totally change your mindset about the situation. You have to release control over that person and realize that they're going to do what they're going to do on their time. You have absolutely no control over it. If you can get to that point and truly breathe, knowing that you can't do anything different to change the fact that they're going to drink, then your life is just going to be so much better. But it's not easy. It's not easy, especially if you have like 15, 20, 25 years, like you were saying, 30 years in a relationship. Every person knows how the other person's going to react. Everybody knows what button to push. Everybody knows, the bad game to try to manipulate. Like you, I'm sure you knew exactly what to say to your partner, your girlfriends, or whatever, so you could get to the next place that you wanted to get to. And you just, it's just very difficult to stay in these relationships. But if you work hard on it, you can detach with love. And detaching with love really means just like stepping back from the relationship, not loving that person as they are, as the soul being that they are on this earth, but just letting them be the person they are. It's like, I know right now, I don't know if some of your listeners have been following Mel Robbins, but I'm reading the Let Them Theory. And it's true. A lot of what she says is like, it's just about let people be who they are. And then let me, this is in her book, which is true, let me decide how I want to show up in this relationship, knowing that that's who they are.
I love it. I love it. One of my favorite sayings is, well, yeah, thank you for your opinion. Like, if someone's casting something on me or giving me their advice, I'm like, well, thank you for your opinion. And if I'm really irritated, I'll say, you're entitled to your opinion. But I will still, interestingly enough, through becoming sober have developed a different level of boundaries that I had as an alcoholic. And obviously that comes with that clarity of mind and a lot of journaling to figure out what it is that was holding me in that space. I love it. So I love this concept here of creating clear boundaries. And I understand that you've got a guide that actually takes people through the process of creating clear boundaries. Is that right, Deanna?
Yeah, actually, on my website at deannamarielifecoaching.com, if you go on the main site, I have a creating boundaries guide. And what it does, it gives you a step-by-step process on how to approach your partner, the time to approach your partner, and what to say to your partner, and how to follow through so that you've actually feel heard in these relationships. Because a lot of time, people are so, when they have so much time in it, they just attack the other person. You don't do this. You don't, well, you're doing that. And in conversations with alcoholics, as you know, turn into a lot of gaslighting, and then they start spinning out of control. And, well, you did this 20 minutes, 20 years ago to me. And with the guide, it's like you can find a way to speak to your partner to know that you did it correctly so you feel heard. If they don't then behave in the way that their words are expressed, then I say to my client, that's really information for you to jot down in your journal. And I do have like a Facts of Love journal that I do give my clients, because if we can take the emotion out of these relationships, they're really just facts, right? Like if I'm asking for A and you're saying B, but then you do C, it's like you're really showing me who you are, even though your words are saying something. So in the creating boundaries guide, when you can express yourself clearly and get the results that are true, then it's just information for you to move forward in that relationship.
So important.
And then the second part of that really is I have a, it's called the boundaries blueprint. And that really talks about enforcing the boundaries. Like, all right, you've expressed what you wanted, but they're going to push back because nobody wants change. They've been getting away with it for however long. And then they're going to push back. And it actually gives you scripts on how to talk to your partner when they do push back.
I love it. I love it. And you're obviously listeners in a relation. If you're in a relationship with somebody and this is addiction is their challenge, is that it's you still love the person. It's just that you don't love the addiction. So it's yeah, I love this. So this the guidelines that Deanna gives you help you stay in a relationship and support them, but also take care of yourself. And all of this information is on her website. We're going to put the links in the show notes and also the show descriptions as well. It's just been fantastic. If you're listening today and you're a survivor of family and/or domestic violence, we offer Pamper Days, so think day spa on steroids. We have 25 practitioners that include hairdressers, makeup artists, we have chakra aligning, we have all sorts of different therapists. Join us for a day where you get to experience all of this for free, a day of healing. And if you're listening today, and these are all over the world, so you reach out to Healing Through Love and we'll point you in the direction of the one that is closest to you. If you're listening today and you're a therapist, and you have got a heart for change, and you are in a position where you can hold that frequency for the day for survivors, reach out to us from Healing Through Love. We would love to connect you with an organizer in your area so that you can help participate. What we know is that these events create a ripple in our communities, a ripple in time, and a ripple in healing this planet. And hit with Healing Through Love, we're here about shifting awareness around family and domestic violence by having these beautiful conversations, sharing tools and techniques that help people empower them really to move forward. I love it. I could talk with you all day, Deanna. So I'm just going to ask you a final question. In closing, what would be your words of wisdom to our listeners?
My words of wisdom would be, it's possible to improve your life no matter how badly you think you are of a position you're in right now. There's always hope. It's just a matter of taking one small step each day and making a change differently. And those will build on each other. And then your life can turn around. You don't have to stay stuck in this relationship. Like, you don't have to be the victim. You can rise up. You can start taking care of yourself. You can start creating boundaries, start speaking your truth. And these little steps, one by one, it's not going to happen overnight. It's just going to empower you and give you so much confidence that you'll just have a more joyful life. My goal for all of my clients and anybody I talk to, it's like, I don't judge anybody if they want to stay in their relationship with their alcoholic partner or not. My goal is really to help all these women who are in these relationships really create joy in their life, because not everybody can go. There's other circumstances that keep them in the relationships, and we can't judge them. But what I want to do is I just want them to be happier, try to ha have a more independent life, more joyful life. Because listen, the only resource here that's limited in our for all of us is time. And don't waste time being miserable.
Oh, so powerful, Deanna Marie. Thank you so much. That's a goodbye from us at Healing Through Love, and a goodbye from Deanna Marie.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.